Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider View, show 13. My name's James Cocker. I have with me Neil Caldwell, a.k.a. David. How are you?
I'm not too happy.
Why not?
Well, I didn't like the intro. Two, I didn't like not doing the intro. And I didn't like you inferring that my name is confusing. Aside from that, I'm great. How are you, ID?
Good, I'm not bad. Thank you.
Right, do you feel pleased with yourself now?
Well, we'll see how the rest of the show goes, shall we?
Okay.
So, what's in your fridge, Neil?
My fridge?
Yes.
My fridge contains three ciders, as per your fridge normally.
Oh, yeah?
So we have, you can see the theme here. We've got three ciders, all medium dry, from different counties in England.
Okay.
And from different friends of the show. So the first one we've got here is a Tutts Clump, traditional farmhouse cider, from Berkshire. Is that right?
I don't know. It's in your fridge.
Yeah, but my figurative fridge, yeah. Secondly, we have an Ampleforth Abbey cider from North Yorkshire.
Interesting.
6.5%. And finally, Oliver Shazam cider, which we've spoken about before.
We have, nice.
Which comes from Herefordshire.
Cool.
Right. They're all medium dry, so it doesn't really matter what we have first.
Okay, take your pick.
According to you.
Hurry up, I'm thirsty.
Right, okay. Hold on. I'm not this impatient. Is this
no,
what you're trying to do?
No, I'm actually thirsty. Hurry up.
You might have noticed, listeners, we've tried swapping roles here with mixed success so far. So I've opened randomly. This is the Tutts Clump traditional farmhouse cider from Berkshire.
So I can thank friend of the show, James Bucknell, for this.
James Bucknell. Jim brought us up this one. Or did he bring up this for you?
It was really for me, but anyway.
But for the show.
He brought up four Tutts Clump ciders. Yeah, so
this one's the traditional farmhouse, 6%, medium dry, according to the bottle.
Tad cloudy, rather fizzy.
Looks quite scrumpy-ish. No, I'll be a bit clearer.
Let's give it a sip.
It's quite nice.
Yeah, it is nice, very drinkable. It's
nicer the longer it goes.
Yeah, it's not too dry.
I felt it was a wee bit boring at first, but it's not. It's quite subtle.
I know what you mean.
It takes a while for it to get through to what it really is. Does that make sense?
I think it does.
So it's not as dry. It's not by no means the driest we've had, but you get that dryness subtly creeping up on you.
Oh, the second sip was very different. I'm getting the flavours in the second sip.
Yeah. Maybe it was just that risotto that you cooked before we started the show. I thought we'd reveal to the listeners what we had for dinner beforehand.
Yes, I made Neil a risotto.
Yeah, it was very good. Anyway, we're talking about Tutts Clump, traditional farmhouse cider. Very nice.
I'm a wee bit disappointed it's so fizzy.
It's not that fizzy. You've had fizzier ciders than that.
No, I know I have, but I very much prefer stiller ciders.
These days, yeah. Actually, it gets the more sips you have of it, the drier it seems to get.
Yeah, I'm getting that as well. Interesting. I like.
What are you giving it then?
What am I giving it?
I feel all at sea here. That starting the show like this is throwing me.
We're mixing it up.
Yeah, we are mixing it up this week. Anyway, what are you giving it?
What am I giving it? I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Jim might be disappointed.
Well, there's three others to go through from Tutts Clump.
Hold on, I'm going to have a wee check.
It's nice, it's drinkable. Maybe I'm being a wee bit harsh on it. I just feel this is something a bit lacking.
No, I would give it a 7. I would give it a 7.
Okay.
Because it's nice.
Ah, it's very drinkable. Right.
Yeah, but drinkable implies that it's not disgusting. I mean, it's a slight grade above that. I'm giving it a 7. I'm happy with
okay. 7. So 6.75.
6.75 overall, so...
Okay.
So that was Tutts Clump, traditional farmhouse cider.
What's next in your fridge?
Is that what I say?
That's sort of something along those lines.
All right, okay. Right, well, from Berkshire, we'll go north to Yorkshire.
Okay,
where
sounds a plan.
Friend of the show, Graham Rose, a.k.a. Casper, brought us Ampleforth Abbey cider, traditional North Yorkshire cider, 6.5%. You need to finish.
Yes, I'll just finish me Tutts Clump first.
So this is a clearer one.
It is. Still fizzy.
Still medium dry as well.
Ooh, it's got quite a flavoursome smell to it, if that's such a thing. Ooh.
It's It's not as good.
It's different.
It's different, all right.
It is in a way. There is something a bit tangy, a bit.
I feel like maybe we needed a palate cleanser after the first one.
I know what you mean.
Or this one is bland.
Well, no, I don't think it's that. It's definitely got a twang to it at the end.
Yeah, slightly tangy at the end.
I'm struggling to describe it.
It's not a medium dry cider, though.
Adequately.
Well, compare that to other medium dry ciders we've had. It's.
What, you're saying it's drier?
No, it's not like other ciders. It's,
it's different.
But I can't quite decide whether it's like a cheaper cider or if it's unique, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. It says traditional on it, but things say premium and traditional on it, and it can mean very little.
Yeah.
But these guys sound like, so the monks of Ampleforth in North Yorkshire have been growing apples for 200 years.
Okay.
Making cider. So these monks, although monks also make Buckfast.
Yes, that's true. I was just going
to
say that.
So we can't rely on monks to give us a premium alcohol.
But we haven't tried Buckfast yet. It's not the monks' fault that it's the Neds that drink it.
That's true. But what I'm saying is we can't rely on monks for a
yes.
premium product.
Agreed. Yeah, so I'm not sure about this.
I'm getting more now. I think my taste buds are just now adjusting to it.
Mm.
I think we were slightly harsh in the Tuts Clump. Now that I've drank this.
No, not necessarily.
Well, I was happy giving Tuts Clump a 7, but...
I'm thinking 6 for this.
This one, yeah. Yeah, it gets 6.
Okay. So, in the initial round of Friends of the Show...
Next performance.
We do
have 6 and 6.75.
We do have our third bottle to go, but...
Yeah.
Next.
Thanks for sending us the cider, Jim and Caspar. Right, next we have... Now, this we are more familiar with. We had this in Edinburgh a few months ago.
Yes, we will admit we have had this cider before, and we had it in a pub. We mentioned it on the show. It was the Brunsfield Hotel, the bar underneath there, sold this stuff, which I believe is the Oliver's. This is the Oliver's Shazam, is it?
Yeah, it's Oliver's Shazam cider.
And I think the only other place in Scotland that's available apparently is some hotel on Skye.
Yeah.
So where did this bottle itself come from?
So my friend, Robert Ainsworth, friend of the show, Robert Ainsworth, brought this back from the Bristol Cider Shop.
Aha.
He's working down in Bristol for a few months, so he's put in quite a few orders for us.
Good old Bristol Cider Shop. Yeah, so I can't remember much about the flavour of this. I can remember that we liked it. So let's see what we think, especially after trying the two mixed.
Different league, isn't it?
Ah. See, I'm still in the mindset of expecting things to be sweeter than they're going to be. And yeah, this was medium dry, but for some reason I was expecting it to be sweeter.
Well, we did actually... We've got a sweeter version of that as well. We chose to use the medium dry version for this show.
Yes.
So...
It would be interesting to try the sweet.
But I think I prefer this.
So these are three medium dry ciders. And to be honest, they are...
That one's the driest, though.
They are similar in taste on the dryness levels.
No, I wouldn't say they are. I think the Oliver Shazam is drier.
Yes. Now, I'd agree it is slightly towards the dry side over the other two. Do I prefer it, though? That's the thing.
Yeah, I do.
See, do you know what? I'm going to give this a 6.5.
6.5? But that's just because you think you've been harsh with Tuts
Clump. No, it's not. It's
because it's medium, it's drier than you'd like.
I can't put it above the Tuts Clump.
But that, I think we've put Tuts Clump too low, right? I'm going to say that now.
Mm.
But that's just in comparison to...
We probably have.
But I'm not sure. No, I think you're right. It's 6.5. That was nicer in the pub.
Yeah, no, I thought that. But it was still in a bottle in the pub, so it can't have been that much difference.
Was it maybe... Did we maybe have the sweeter version in the pub?
No, it was definitely the Shazam.
Definitely.
I'm getting all confused now. I'm going to have a wee bit more.
I know what you mean. But careful, if you're going to give this 6.5, that means it ends up below Tatsukonpo altogether.
Yeah, but I think that might be right. I'm worried it's maybe too cold. No, because I like it. Because you've got to remember, sometimes when we sit in a pub, the alternative is usually a Strongbow or a Magners or a Bulmers.
All right.
So when we saw Oliver's and we had it in a nice glass in a nice pub, maybe it felt different.
Yeah.
Now we're comparing three ciders, which are all better than that, right? So we're giving it gradings that are against each other, not against the shit that you'll have in the fridge in your random pub.
Yes, true.
So on that basis, I'm going to give that... No, I'm going to give that a 7, because it's...
Okay, let me quickly try a bit of the Tuts Clump. I know we're dragging on a bit, but...
Well, in fact, why don't we... We'll both retry Tuts Clump, because it's better to regrade them now than in 5 shows
time. Yeah, exactly. That. Yeah, so the Tuts Clump is different. I think I do possibly prefer the Tuts Clump slightly.
I'm going to give both of those a 7. So Oliver Shazam and Tuts Clump get a 7 from me.
Well, I'm giving them both 6.5.
So that means they both get 6.75.
Yep. Oh, well, interesting.
Yeah. I think the problem is we've done quite a few ciders now. We've done over 40, haven't we?
Yes.
And we've got a variety of gradings in there. And a lot of them don't make much sense. Not a lot of them, but some of them are... There's red herrings all over the place.
It's true. I mean, you could probably stick them in 3 bands. You've got your ones at the top that we love, the ones in the middle which aren't bad, the ones at the bottom which we hate.
Yeah, and if we were to sample all 40 in one go, well, the 40th one we'd probably think was amazing just because we'd had 39 ciders just before it. But there's red herring, like there's ones that get 7.5 which don't deserve it, etc. So anyway, that was your fridge or my fridge.
That was your fridge.
Oh, sorry, I'm doing your.
So anyway, that was your fridge, Neil.
Yeah.
Yes, 3 interesting ciders there from Friends of the Show. Thanks again for all 3. So, have we got any cider news this week, Neil?
Yes, we do.
We do? Oh.
I've got cider news.
Tell me more. What's going on?
I'll warn you right now, there's no quiz.
Aw.
The quiz is a shite feature, right?
No, I think you just found out how hard it was to think up the questions, didn't you?
No, I just...
You didn't even bother thinking, did you?
Couldn't be bothered.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, right, get this. Local cider news. Edinburgh cider news. Right?
Okay.
When was the last time you did that? So you did cider news.
Sounds good. Go on.
So... Cloisters Bar, which we featured in the show.
Yes.
Are having a beer festival starting 10th of June.
Ah, yes, I know this.
Why is that cider news, you might ask? Well, as part of their beer festival, they're having 6 ciders appearing over the 12 days. 2 from a keg, 2 black wrapped ciders from a keg, and 4 hand-pulled from Gwynty Draig.
Ah, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I checked that.
See, ah, nice.
Research.
Nice. Yeah. I'm impressed you did that bit of research. So, I would have just said the Welsh cider company that we can't pronounce. So, yeah.
No, I see Gwynty Draig.
Points there.
Yep. The first of the Gwynty Draig ciders will be Black Dragon. Now, we've had 2 Gwynty Draig ciders. We had one in the show, which was...
The Black Magic.
The Black Magic. And we also had the Black Dragon, but we had that in...
In a pub, separately.
Yeah, we had that in the Alexander Graham Bell.
The Black Dragon's nice, but it wasn't... It just didn't taste so much to me.
I liked it. I liked it.
It certainly didn't taste so much.
But I think that comes back to what we're saying. It was like, it's a cider that's different to your usual that you get in a pub, so you appreciate it more. So it was probably one of those cases.
True.
2 Black Rats. We've had 1 Black Rat in the show, and we had a Black Rat Perry in the Cumberland Bar, I think, as well.
Yeah, a couple of places.
So they're not ciders we're unfamiliar with, but I'm sure there'll be 1 or 2 there from the same brand that we've not had before, if that makes sense. So that starts on the 10th of June. Get yourselves down there if you're in Edinburgh. So that's the first item of news.
Okay, cool.
Local news. Start local. Edinburgh Cider News.
Yes, nice. Although the fact that they tweeted that direct to our Twitter account and you didn't have to do any research to find it out kind of discounts from
Does it not qualify as cider news?
It qualifies, but I would have
And not only that, it's Edinburgh Cider News. Now, you just chose for us to swap roles on the perfect time for that, for me to deliver that as cider news. Blame yourself, IT.
Wasn't really. Anyway, I'm hoping that you've got some actual research cider news.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's go.
Well, first of all, I'll give you some context to the next element of cider news, which is in itself cider news. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the context is, been a good crop this year.
Have we?
So I hear.
So So you hear?
Orchards are blossoming all over the southwest of England. So, and that's going to transmit into good fruit for harvest, etc.
Etc. Do you want to elaborate on the etc.?
Well, cider makers are happy.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Is that it?
That's the context, right?
All right, okay. Okay, keep going.
So, at the end of this month, Wednesday the 29th of June, the world's biggest cider competition is taking place.
Is it now?
It is. The 150th Bath and West Cider Show.
Bath and West?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So, but I'm guessing it means Bath and West Country, although they dropped the word country.
Guessing. Okay, keep going.
Well, oh God. God, you're pernickety. Anyway, so it's already the world's biggest cider competition, this year attracting 503 entries. But the cider classes at Bath and West Show could reappear next year as the World Cider Championships, which would lend further prestige to the event.
Okay.
This is borderline plagiarism, by the way. So the idea has already been discussed in the wake of an exceptional entry of this year's competition. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't think I ever said blah, blah, blah during my news.
But because the point is, because there's no fully recognised World Cider Championships, the guys that are organising the event are looking to possibly make this event next year be called the World Cider Championships.
All right, okay, interesting.
And get more of an international aspect.
Interesting. So
they already have an international section to the Bath and West Cider Show, but they're going to try and expand that and make it the World Cider Championships.
Okay.
But it already is, in a way, the World Cider Championships, because it's the biggest cider event. 503 entries.
And when did you say it was?
Wednesday the 29th of June.
Okay.
In Bristol, I'm guessing.
So after them, are you saying we should have some kind of like top list of ciders to try out of the ones that have won at this festival?
Well, I would hope so.
Competition?
I would hope so. But we've got plenty in our cellar. Yeah,
we do have quite a lot of ciders to get through. Okay.
We've also got plenty in the hit list as well, don't we?
Hit list?
Well, there was ones that have won previous.
Oh, that we need to find. Yes, yes. True. Okay, do you want to state your sources for the news articles?
State my sources?
Ah, you should always mention where you found out about the article.
Well, you don't state your sources.
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, I got the story about the Bath and West Cider Show from a website called This Is Somerset.
Okay. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, you'd normally say, according to This Is Somerset, blah, blah, or...
All right, you're the expert now, aye?
Yeah, rather than...
Do you consider yourself quite the journal?
Rather than like an appendix at the end of the news article. But anyway, next.
All right, next, that's it. That's it.
That's it.
All the cider news.
Right. So you had one news article which was a bit of a cheat because it came direct to us. It
wasn't a cheat.
And one which you probably managed to luckily find on your phone 5 minutes before the show.
Yeah, and I gave it some wider context. Bumper crop this year. Like, in fact... I've given you local cider news, right? I've given you the biggest World Cider Championships this cut in the world, if that makes sense. And I've also told you about the actual cider making this year, that it's going to be a good year. Cider makers are happy. I don't know what more you want.
I'm not
far
impressed.
Better than the shite you usually come
no,
up with.
I'm not impressed. I would have expected more, to be honest.
Well, what do you want?
It was exactly.
Oh, strong.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, in fact, I've got one more for you, right?
Okay.
I chose not to put it in, right? Because this is the kind of shit that you would have put in your feature. Strongbow have decided not to roll out their new cider and black drink. So they were going to make a cider snake bite thing, right? But I chose that was not worthy of our podcast.
Interesting.
Now, you would have probably just filtered out that and a whole range of other shit about whatever brand boomers are coming out with. But no, I gave you good cider news. So there you go.
I'm disappointed.
Next feature.
Though. I'm disappointed.
The more tucks clump.
Maybe next time. So, on to the pubs.
The pubs. The pub review.
The pubs. Now, we went out
We didn't even talk about what pub we were going to review before the
it's
show.
It's all right. I planned it. I mean, we've kind of decided not to necessarily focus
look at this, by the way. I've just poured out the remnants of the Putz Clump, and it's got...
You've got some sediment.
It's Yeah, but it's proper sediment.
Should have given us a wee shake there, then.
Yeah, but it's not... This isn't sediment that would is even soluble. It's just gristle.
No, I think it's sediment, Neil. Anyway,
no,
the pubs.
It's like skin or something.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
The pubs. So, we had a wee outing to Leith the other week, although you live there now, so it wasn't really an outing for you.
No, I just went outside.
But we decided to check out some of the pubs up Leith Walk and to the shore and check out their cider selections.
We did, yeah.
So I thought I'd just kind of run through some of the best pubs we found on our trek in Leith for cider.
Or the specific pubs that I took you to, because I knew what cider they sold.
Well, we kind of avoided the ones which we obviously knew weren't going to sell anything.
It was the day Hibs lost the Scottish Cup final as well, so we avoided certain ones.
Yes, we did avoid a few. So we started off in the Brass Monkey.
We did, yes.
Which is a nice pub. It was really busy there, so it's obviously the
place always busy in the Brass Monkey in Leith.
And I noticed they had board games. There was a group playing.
It's kind of student-y vibe.
Yeah, it was in like Trivia Pursuit or something they were playing. So yeah, nice pub, a decent size.
Yep.
And they had quite a selection of ciders. Addison's on draft was their only draft. But in bottles, they had Thistlecross, original still at the time. They also had Old Rosie, Wildwood, and the Weston's Vintage. And then they had a few, as Neil makes a racket while going to get some water, Savannah Dry, Stouffer Press, Magnus Kopperberg, etc. So the Thistlecross and the Weston's, they suddenly get points for. Check out the Brass Monkey in Leith.
Yeah, it's a good pub for cider.
It is.
And it's a good pub.
It is. Then we moved on to the Victoria Bar, which is owned by the same people as Joseph Pierce that we've previously reviewed on the show.
That's right. Where did you get that piece of information?
I'd found their website, actually. Have you seen that they've got about four...
No, I told you that.
They've got four or five different places.
Yes, I know.
So we need to check out the others. But they, as Joseph Pierce does, had the Idun's cider that Neil likes of the Elderflower... No, sorry, the... Is it the pear one you like? No, it's the elderflower one.
It's the elderflower. Although, it's kind of my... would you call it a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's probably the fruity cider that you are not ashamed to...
Well, I wouldn't say I'm not ashamed.
Okay, that's not good. Anyway, they've got Idun's, elderflower, and lingonberry. And they also do the cider de la Recoltante.
Cidre de Recoltante.
From Longueville.
Longueville.
That'll do. That we reviewed in episode 3. Yeah. That we
nice
like.
Pub. My local, essentially.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Yeah, they also had, actually, the Hollows and Fentiman's ginger beer that we liked.
Yeah, very good.
The very different good ginger beer.
Yeah. If we were to give that a cider mark, it would be in the 8s or 9s.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
It's a nice little pub. I mean, yes, it's only really got the three different ciders, but they're different ones, and it's a nice little place. Little romantic area out the back.
Where we sat.
It's good, where we sat together. Yeah. Anyway.
Aye.
So Victoria Bar on Leith Walk. Check it out. We then wandered up and a few other places that didn't really have much to talk about. But after Patrick Hansen on Twitter suggested, we decided to check out Foot of the Walk, which is at the end of Leith Walk.
Who's Patrick Hansen?
Someone on Twitter that suggested we check out Foot of the Walk.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. You've been there before, though.
I haven't. It's the first time I've been there. Now, it is a Wetherspoons. So they did have... pretty much almost the whole selection of Westons. They had the Vintage, Wildwood, Perry, Medium Dry, Medium Sweet, Extra Dry. But they also had the Winton's? Westons Twist Raspberry in a box.
Yeah.
I hadn't had the Twist before, and I was expecting it I was expecting it to be kind of record-liggy-wise. But,
it's
obviously,
quite good, though.
Being coming out of a box, and it was still.
Yeah.
So it is almost kind of... I compare it to the closest I can think of. It's kind of Black Magic, which is like a decent cider with fruit and still.
Still Black Magic. It's a bit like that
by the Welsh cider company.
Glinty Drag.
They had those and the other random stuff. But it just felt like it just felt a bit strange in there to me. It was
a strange pub. It
was like a large hall. I mean, it was quite quiet when we were there, which it would probably be a bit better when it's busy.
It's a church hall type atmosphere. In fact, like when everywhere else in Leith was jumping that night, that place was empty. That tells you all.
Which for a Wetherspoons is surprising.
Yeah,
because they're normally packed. So, Foot the Walk, if you like your Westons, get down there. Pub itself, not much.
Go to the Brass Monkey, because you get everything. Brass Monkey will give you everything.
Well, they've got a few, yeah. There's a few.
Halfway up Leith Walk.
So then we wandered a bit further up, and we ended up at Malton Hops on the shore.
Is that the wee one we were in?
That's the wee one,
aye. Oh, yeah.
Which is a kind of small, traditional pub. It's just the other side of Pizza Express, if you're wondering. They've got dried hops hanging from the ceiling, hence their name. And they actually had three ciders on draft. Now, one of which was Stouffer Press, nothing to write home about. They also had Alston's and Black Rat Perry.
Yeah.
Which was the one that stood out there.
But you have to give them kudos for having three ciders on draft that aren't, well, apart from maybe Stouffer Press to an extent, but all three are relatively uncommon.
Yes.
Relatively, I say.
Yeah.
One more uncommon than the other two, but pretty impressive that they would have three ciders on draft.
Yeah.
Did they have anything in the fridge, actually?
They had Magnus, Magnus Pear, and Kopperberg. And Jeremiah Weed, actually. So, yeah, if you like, if you want to track down some Black Rat Perry, get yourself down to Molten Hops.
Yeah, because the Cumberland Bar doesn't have it anymore.
Ah, we need to update the cider map.
Or last time I was in the Cumberland Bar, a couple months or so ago, didn't have it.
So a little place, friendly bar staff. Get Molten Hops checked out. Then we headed up to Chuchta's Landing.
Are we including it?
Which, I'm going to include it here. I mean, it's worth a visit because it's a nice little pub. A room in Leith is kind of like connected to it. So they do very good food. I once had a haggis scotch egg there, which was really good. They've also got a rather impressive whiskey list.
They do, but we're veering away from...
We're being pubby.
Don't get me wrong, it's a good pub. It's one of the best pubs in Edinburgh.
But. Now, on the cider front, they only have Thistlecross Traditional, along with Recorder Heilig and Stouffer Press on Draft. So yeah. They don't get a recommended rating on our cider map.
But it's a fantastic pub, and they have good cider options.
Yes, that's why I decided to mention it, because it's worth a visit.
Yeah,
it's worth a visit.
Definitely.
And we finished up that night in Bond number 9.
We discussed that before.
Which we have spoken to in the past. It was my first time there, though. So, I mean,
IT's podcast?
It's a nice place. It's a smart place. They had Aspels on Draft.
We've said all this before. Why are we repeating it?
And the...
We've already talked about 6 pubs. We don't need to talk about one more.
I'm touching on the night that we spent in Leith, and this is where we finished up. But on this point, actually, that night, the two ciders that we had,
Cidre de Récoltante,
that'll do, and the Weston's Vintage. But I didn't see any of those that you'd previously mentioned, such as the Old Rosie.
What, are you saying I made it up?
No, I'm not saying you made it up. Well, I don't know. You might have made it up, knowing you.
Well, why would I just write down all that stuff? No, they had it.
So sometimes they might do all the stuff there. So, but Bond number 9, it's a nice place, and I would recommend it too.
Especially overall, Leith is not bad for cider.
So it was quite a successful night. We did end up adding several recommended pubs to our cider map. So even if a lot of them were just Addlestons and Westons and Aspels,
and there is other places in Leith you can get cider in as well. There are one or two of which are on the cider map, I think. There's the Mash Tun on Easter Road's on there.
Yeah, I haven't been there.
But we were not going to go to Easter Road that night though.
No, I think that was
crawling with high bees.
A place to avoid. So, onwards to Let's Branch Out.
Well, you don't say it like that. You say, Let's Branch Out. All right, okay. Anyway, Let's Branch Out. Yes, Let's Branch Out. What we're going to have for Let's Branch Out is ginger grouse.
Ginger grouse. So you've probably seen this around the place.
Yeah. Now, on the face of it, this is just alcoholic ginger beer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. However... it is alcoholic ginger beer with a twist. And that twist is Famous Grouse whiskey.
Okay.
Because there's a wee dash of it in here.
Right.
Now, not very much, I'm guessing, because the alcohol percentage is 4%.
Yeah, and so they only say this in the small print on the back. They don't. If I was them, I would have stuck this on the front.
Yeah, but I mean, grouse of your cheap blended whiskies, it's the best of your cheap blended whiskies, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It maybe adds a wee bit of value if you would have it. But I guess what? I bought this bottle myself. Now, not in the supermarkets where you could buy it, but I bought this in the Famous Grouse Distillery.
Oh, I see. So it's come straight from the source.
It has done.
Sort of.
Yeah. So, Famous Grouse Distillery, which is, I can't remember the actual whiskey, the single malt that's made. It's near Perth somewhere.
Yeah, this is a cider show, remember?
The cider show. Anyway, yeah, anyway. But I bought this there. On a stag do.
Cool.
So that's why there's a little bit of story there.
Cool. Can I try it?
You can.
While you're finishing off your whatever you're drinking. Now, I think I have had this before, but I can't even remember how it really compared. Ooh, it's a touch cloudy, actually. Quite fizzy.
That's another camp line you've done in the show.
Bit of a head there. I want to talk about a head. So, what have we got? Smells ginger beery. Tastes ginger beery. Have you had this before, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nicer than most ginger beers. It's actually, I mean, it's not up there with Hollows and Fentimans as ginger beer goes, but it's got more subtlety to it and more, it's got more complex notes to it than your Krabbies and your kind of average ginger beer.
It's not as fiery, so it is a bit more drinkable.
It's not that fiery, but it's still got a kind of fiery...
Tingle,
but it's a dancing tingle.
Oh dear.
It's a dancing tingle of fire.
A dancing tingle of fire.
That's the title. There we go.
So, to be honest, it's a ginger beer. It's like Krabby's. It hasn't given me the immediate shock that the Hollow and Fentimans one did, that was very different ginger beer. It's nice. If you like ginger beer, try it out.
Yeah, it's definitely So what the ginger beers we've had in the show remind me? It's a while since we've had one, actually.
Yeah, I'd remind you if I could remember.
Halls and Fentimans.
Krabbies.
Krabbies. And there was that ginger beard.
Ah, the ginger beard. That was more ginger beer, as in ginger beer.
Ginger-flavoured beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say this is less good than Halls and Fentimans.
Definitely.
Better than Krabbies Black.
Debatable. Well, you can't
slightly
compare,
better.
You can only compare it to the black. It's designed to be compared to Krabbies.
Yeah, but we had Krabbies Black in the show.
Okay.
True. Way back in show two or three or something. Mm. Did you say show 13, by the way, to introduce us?
I did.
Should have not used that before.
You've definitely not used that before. I decided to keep it simple and not go with your wamby-pamby name selection thing.
My what?
So, the famous grouse, yeah, try it out if you see it around. Yeah,
it's good.
They do it at Murrayfield. Well, they do.
No, I mean, if I was in a pub and I saw this, might get it. Might not. But if it was that, and... Okay, here's a good example.
Okay.
Say they had no other ginger beer, right?
Yeah.
And they had this.
Yeah.
And they had no other cider, mm-hmm. apart from Magners, Bulmers, Copperberg, ETC. I would have this.
I agree. I would too.
Now, there's a couple of reasons for this, and this delves in a point where I thought we might discuss in the show, actually. You've always been a cider drinker, right? You've not always been a cider drinker, yeah, but for the vast...
Since I was born.
For the past 10 years, you've been a cider drinker, pretty much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I am somebody that drinks cider a lot, more though when we go out or something like that. Yeah? I'm more of an occasional to moderate cider drinker. Before we started doing the show, I started drinking more cider, right? And like you, I would just drink whatever cider was in the pub, say we were out. But now I find myself only drinking good cider.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even... If I go into a pub and they've got Magners, Bulmers, Copperberg, I don't even bother looking at... I wouldn't even consider the cider. Because I'm only interested in good cider now.
So what would you have?
Well, if they had a good cider, I would have it.
Yeah, I know, but if they didn't, what would you have?
I would have cheap beer. Okay. So this is my point. I prefer cheap lager to cheap cider.
Interesting, because I don't do beer.
Yeah, you don't
beer. So I'm kind of stuck there. So if they do only have Magners, Copperberg, etc., then I'd end up having a Magners.
But it's an interesting point that even though we've had over 40 different ciders now in the show, and all it's done is made me appreciate better cider more and cheaper cider less.
Yes, yes. I think we have learnt a lot and also changed a lot in our cider ways since we started doing the show. Because if you look at the early days, we reviewed Carlsberg Somersby in the show. And these days, we wouldn't even go anywhere near that.
No, we wouldn't. Although I was very sceptical at the time.
Or only to, like...
You were giving it praise, and I was giving it...
Well, for its class, it's different. But anyway, let's not go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've both changed cider taste. I think my cider taste is still changing. I think I am... I've always said in the show that I prefer the sweeter, like, traditional ciders and over the dry ones. But actually... I've grown to like the Henny's Vintage quite a bit, so I think I am getting a bit higher in
my taste. But I don't know if it's just as simple as sweet to dry, because we've had three different medium dry ciders there, right? But you can have a cider that is... You could have the sweetest cider imaginable and the driest cider imaginable, but even though you prefer sweeter ciders generally, you could still prefer the drier one of that particular...
Not if I don't like dry ciders.
Well, like, depends how dry we're talking about.
Like, remember that's Perry's dry.
Perry's dry, yeah. That was ultra dry.
Now, one day, we might like that.
No, I don't think so.
Because people do really like that. So it's all down to the taste. But anyway, are we getting too philosophical?
No, deep? I think it's a good point. In fact, we'd be very interested to hear other listeners' journeys.
Yes.
Because we've been on a cider journey.
We have. This is very much a cider journey. We're getting a bit X Factor now.
Oh, I don't mind. Like, for the past 8 months, we've reviewed 45, something like that, ciders. We've changed. We've changed. Our appreciation of cider has changed in different ways, unexpected ways. I'd be interested, certainly, to hear other people's cider journeys.
Yeah, yeah.
So contact us at theorchard@ciderview.com.
Do let us know where you started, where you're now. Because, to be honest, I'm not afraid to say that... Probably about that 10 years ago that you were talking about, I did used to drink Strongbow and Blackthorn. And that's where my cider journey started. But it's gone through everything from Magners, Bulmers, fruity stuff, and now I'm on the good stuff. We got there in the end.
The good stuff.
So
we veered a wee bit away from Let's Branch Out there, but We'd still recommend Ginger Grouse.
Yep.
But give it a shot. We had an interesting side note there about our cider journey.
Yes.
So there you go. This is what happens when IT presents the show.
I think you started that bit. But anyway, so Ginger Grouse, give it a go.
Anything in the post bag today, IT?
Oh no, that's what I mean. Anything in the post bag
that's
today,
what
Neil?
I'm saying. I can't introduce that. You've got to say that and the show loses cohesion. Anyway, anything in the post bag?
Yep.
Why? How the hell am I supposed to know?
Well, could have been on Twitter and what we've been receiving. And...
Yeah, but you don't. You've not given me access to the Orchard outside of you. Don't
you haven't asked.
Well, but if I was
no, there's not.
Nothing in the post bag.
My notes in the post slash other section were to mention the closest beer festival, just in case Neil forgot about it.
Just in case Neil didn't forget about it. So, well, let's use this opportunity. We do want to hear from you. So I've already mentioned, but please contact us at theorchardatsideofview.com. Follow us on Twitter at SiderView. Download us from iTunes.
Yep.
At the Edinburgh SiderView. Type it in a search on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
Leave us a review. We'd really like another review.
Do.
Because I'm going to mention this, IT. I know we've talked about this before.
Go on.
There are rival cider podcasts on iTunes.
What? Really?
Believe it or not. There are other cider podcasts.
More crazy people.
More crazy people. So we want to stay ahead of the game.
Stay ahead.
Yeah. So please leave us a review on iTunes and
check out our website. And if you've got any suggestions for cider pubs in Edinburgh, get onto our website and suggest them. And let us know your thoughts on cider in general, because, I'd say we're on the lookout for good ciders, but we do have quite a backlog to get through, to be honest. But still do send us through any suggestions you've got for ciders.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was show 13.
That was indeed show 13. So thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time for show 15. No, hold on, 14. That's the one. Show 14.
Show 14, where I'll be in charge. Goodbye.
If he's lucky. Goodbye.